Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor-teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
Briefly, we saw that Paul's prescription for the Galatians was this. He said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's going to be lust in your flesh. But if you walk by the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for that, and basically what happens is, in other words, if we yield our members to the Spirit, we will not sin. We will not transgress God's law. And so primarily this is the case. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill. Doesn't mean you won't have. You just won't fulfill. That lust will be there, but you'll learn how to put it in check by the Spirit of God and the truth of His Word. And so notice what he says here, just moving back to 21. Now if I do, this is Romans 7 and 21. Now if I do that, he says, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present in me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In other words, since I have been saved, born again, I want to do the right thing. God has changed my desire to obey Him. I want to do it. The presence of my desire to serve God is there. At the same time, the indwelling sin is there. And so there is now a conflict within my own flesh and in my own mind of, do I serve God with my body or do I serve the flesh? And so that's the great struggle that goes on in the heart of every Christian. He says, notice in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." You see that? So there's a true battle inside the one who is born again. And because the Spirit of God is in you and He wants you to do right, you want to do right, but you find yourself stumbling and falling into sin periodically. So Paul cries out, this is the heart cry, verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" You see that? And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." You see that? That's the conclusion. So the law of sin is still there, but with the mind we serve God. See? Now, is this an excuse to sin? Absolutely not. He started with that in chapter 6. He says, "Shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound?" And he says, "God forbid." That's not the purpose of salvation. Salvation is saving us from sin. It's saving us out of sin. We've been called out of sin into truth. We've been called out of darkness into light. We've been called out of the old way of life into a new way of life. God has made that possible. And you know what? The beauty of this whole thing, and I just want to add this, this is a footnote, is that, you know, when you love somebody, you want to please them. Have you noticed that? If there's somebody you really love, you want them to be content and happy. You'll do anything. You go out of your way to make them happy. You see? To love them. You know what? If you do it because you want to, that's when it's love. If somebody was forcing you to do it, it would be a whole other story. You know, if you had that, and I've always used this illustration, if you have to chain up your wife to keep her in your life, you should just let her go because she doesn't love you. She's going to go away. She's not going to stay with you. But if she's free and she can do whatever she wants and come and go and she chooses to be with you, then she loves you. See? And you don't have to worry about her coming. She will come back every time. You don't have to chain her up and keep her in the house. You see what I'm saying? Same thing with a husband. You don't chain them up. You want them to be free. Love is free. Without freedom, there is no love. See that? So people should be totally free. And basically, God wants you to be free. He wants you to do what you do for Him because you love Him. And so Paul outlines that. He says here that with the mind, I delight in the law of God. And with the mind, I am serving the law of God. But I find in my flesh is a stumbling block. And only Jesus Christ can deliver me from that stumbling block. Now, after all that, we get to chapter 8, finally. And we're just going to get a little bit into this in our lesson tonight. I want you to see this. So Paul is summarizing the fact that it is Jesus Christ all alone who delivers us from this body of death. Chapter number 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." See that? You are in a no condemnation status if you trust in Jesus Christ. "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, the flesh is still there, even in verse 8, although it's in chapter 8, verse 1, although it is saying that there is no condemnation, God has declared us not guilty. All who are trusting in Christ, You can know for sure God declares you not guilty because you trust in Christ. Not because of anything else, but because of the righteousness of Christ that's given to those who trust in Him. So we are at a no condemnation status. We do not have to worry about judgment if we should die. Right now, today, we do not have to worry about judgment. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, he tells you why. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we've been separated from the law of sin and death. And basically, that's all you could achieve by keeping the law would be sin and death, because the sin is going to be amplified, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You see that? And so basically he says the law of sin and death has been separated. You've been made free by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So sin is condemned, but you are not. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you are not condemned. See, you are in a present situation or a status of not condemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. See that? Sin is condemned, however, because Jesus died to take away the sins of all those who trust in Him. Now notice the reason in verse 4, Romans 8 and 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Remember, he said he served the law of God with his mind. He delights in the law of God in his inner man, but he saw the law of sin was still present. So the thing is where is your mind set? And Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See that? So it has to do with your mindset. Where's your mind locked in? My mind is locked in on Jesus Christ. It's locked in on the Word of God, locked in on the truth. You see that? And that doesn't mean I won't stumble or have bouts with the flesh, because obviously the flesh is warring with the Spirit, but my mind is set on doing the right thing. That's why I like that song we sang on Sunday. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm locked in on Jesus, even though I may stumble a little here or there, and that's no excuse, and that does happen occasionally, as you see even the great apostle Paul struggling with sinful tendencies in his life, but my mind is locked in on the truth. See? And so that's how you know you're in that no condemnation status, is where is your mind set? Is it locked in on the truth? Is your mind on eternity, or are you living for the present and for the flesh? You see, that's the difference. Now, he goes on to show the difference in these two mindsets here in verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If the mind is set on spiritual things, it will only produce life and give peace. You see, chapter 5, you see it back there. If you just flip back a couple of pages just to refresh your memory, Romans 5 and number 1, the first verse there, he says, of course, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. See that? We're at a situation of peace. There is no war between us and God any longer, those who trust in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that He is the full payment for all your sin. There is no condemnation for you. God has pronounced you holy. He has pronounced you clean. He looks at you exactly as He sees Jesus Christ. You see that? And so that's the great news of the gospel, that God has given us His Son. So to be carnally minded, if you're stuck in the flesh and you yield to the flesh all the time and never to the Spirit, then you see that that could be a great problem. It can only produce death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the reason why verse 7, Romans 8 and 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God, the fleshly mind. It says, therefore, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. The flesh can never satisfy God. It can never come up to God's standard because it has missed the mark, it has fallen short, and basically it is under a condemnation status unless it has been rescued from indwelling sin, as we mentioned on our lesson last week. And so then, he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. See, no pleasing God in the flesh. No way you can crank out enough righteousness to satisfy God, apart from God's free gift that He gives by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to whoever believes in the name of His Son. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. You see that? Now, we got a lot of controversy in the church, and we're not going to take many more verses than this on tonight. But there's a lot of controversy in the church among professing Christians about when does a person receive the Spirit of God. Some people teach that you get saved over here and you receive the Spirit of God over there. But the Bible is clear. It says that if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. You don't belong to Him at all. So you don't get saved in one spot and filled with the Spirit in another. In fact, the Holy Spirit has to come into you first before you can ever believe. Because you're dead in your trespasses and sin, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Take a look at the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll make this point clear. And then we'll take some time and answer some questions if anyone has them. In Ephesians, that'll be a little to your right. Go over to past Galatians to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you He made alive." See that? "Who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's when we walked totally in the flesh and were carnal. "In which you once," he says, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Everybody started off being in sin, and God had to make you alive and cause you to see the gospel. You see that? So the gospel is the gift of God, and it's done by the Holy Spirit. It happens to you before you believe. The Spirit of God comes in and quickens you, makes you alive so that you can accept the truth of the gospel and be rescued from indwelling sin, as we looked at on last week. So that really happens first. People want to know what happens first. Well, the first thing is you hear the, and this is the mystical thing about this, is that God has determined it by the foolishness of preaching, as he told in 1 Corinthians, to save those who believe. He sends carnal people like me, regular old fleshly old Landis, and Brother Johnson, and folk who are just average folks, and we go out and preach. The great commission of the church is go into all the world and teach all the nations, see? And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, Jesus said. And lo, I am with you always even to the end of the world. He says, I am with you. So when preaching is being done, the Spirit of God is there in that place, wherever it is. He's convicting people of their sin and of God's righteousness and His judgment. That these three things, and that's what it says in the book of John, that when the Spirit of truth has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. See? Three things the Holy Spirit does whenever the gospel is preached. He convicts the world, that's anybody, no matter who you are, of sin. He says sin because they believe not on me. It is a sin to reject the gospel and deny the Son of God. See? And so when the gospel is preached, everyone who hears it is convicted by the Spirit that is true, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, only way to be saved. See that? And so of righteousness, why? Because he goes to the Father, Jesus said. I go to the Father. How'd that happen? He came into the world, born into the world according to the scriptures, the law, and the prophets, lived a spotless, holy, sinless life, gave his life of his own free will because of his great love for the Father and also for his great love for you and me and all sinners everywhere, died on the cross to receive the justice of God and pay the penalty for all of our sins, and then rose from the dead and went to the Father. He says, because I go to the Father. That's righteousness. See, God is satisfied only with the righteousness of Christ. And those who trust in Christ and believe that he is the only Savior of the world, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, no other one. Mary is not a mediator between God and men, as the Catholic Church likes to teach. You see? No way. The Bible says one God, one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. You see? 1 Timothy 2 and 5. You might want to make a note of that.
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. Call us toll-free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.